It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, to be less horrible, I'll change the subject now. Someone who looked better after having a kid was Cindy Crawford. She looked more human after that. I don't know that that's true. Whatever happened to Cindy Crawford? She's just gone.
I think she's still doing modeling.
Really?
Sears or something.
For what?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of her, though, and she's still looking really good.
Rick, David, and Justin seemed really happy to be rid of the skull. I have a vision of a curse that can only be broken by giving it to a willing recipient, thus ending their curse and beginning yours. Enjoy, Tony.
No, things haven't been going so well for you for the past 20 minutes, too.
And then you'll flash forward to me in like 6 months, and I'm all unemployed and toothless and broken down. I got cancer. And would you like the skull, please? You have to take it from me. Rick, did you know it's illegal to own human remains? Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The Portland police have identified the guy they say is linked to shooting that guy at the Portland convenience store. 27-year-old Jimmy Keshi, just like the cereal, is under arrest in Vancouver. On an unrelated robbery, they think he robbed a whole bunch of places, like the 7-Eleven in Beaverton, Beaverton Plaid Pantry, and Beaverton Denny's. And his bail is now set at $500,000, citing that he is a potential flight risk and a danger to the community.
Wait, so they have charged him?
They've charged him with other robberies.
Okay, but they charge him with other robberies, obviously, is because they think he's guilty, and B, it's a good way to hold him until they can figure out whether he did it, because this Belmont thing, for whatever reason, is very high profile. Okay.
And he has those evil high cheekbones.
Yeah.
So, it could be him.
All right.
But we don't know for sure. A driver involved in an accident in Issaquah yesterday fell asleep during rush hour and held everyone's trip up. Washington State Patrol says 48-year-old Chi Alum had only a few hours of sleep before driving eastbound on the freeway. Apparently, he left the left shoulder, crashed into a cable barrier, and that didn't even wake him up. When they approached the car, they found him sleeping behind the wheel. Well, listen to this. Apparently, there's another love child for Anna Nicole Smith, and he's a Native American. He lives in the Native American nation of Tohono O'ahu.
I don't think that they have their own nations.
They do. The Indians have their own nations.
No, they just have, like, trailer parks.
No, they have their own nations.
I don't understand. Okay. Are those sovereign? Are those separate countries?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Within the United States.
All right.
Of course, it's not any desirable place to have your own nation.
I mean, it's sort of their own personal Kazakhstan.
Right. I mean, no man's land with, you know, armadillos and killer spiders running around. And that's some other land for them.
Where they have many problems, social, economic, and Jew.
Yes.
All right.
So apparently, this youngster's name is Little Marshall Soto. And he lives in this... this Native American nation. He watches Sesame Street on cartoons.
I don't understand what's going on here.
Apparently he watches it with his father, Johnny Soto. He sat on the couch and said, Gee. Apparently that's part of his native tongue. Gee means mother in his native language. Yes, Muckwad, says the boy's dad. Using the pet name for the boy, meaning little tadpole. Johnny Soto then whispers something quick in his native language.
Is this a bedtime
story? And his eyes begin filled with tears. The boy has blue-black eyes. I want Mama G, he cries, as the news channel shows a mahogany coffin belonging to Anna Nicole Smith. Mama G went to heaven, Mockwad, says his dad. Mama G watches us from sky, little peanut. The boy is in tears. He's out of her flight.
He's not alone.
Well, just last year, the family dog was attacked and eaten by a pack of wolves. Mama G is with Peanut now. They're playing together in clouds, says the boy's father. He's a light-skinned, dark-haired boy who favors his mother a little. One day we go play with them, too.
Peanut.
Can we go play now?
Isn't that right,
boy?
Donkey.
Oh, no, not now, Muckwad. He begins to cry himself, hiding his face in his hands. You stay with Ogi. That's father in the Odum language. Your Ogi needs you. Marshall runs to his dad, jumping up to embrace him on the couch as they weep together. On TV, the news switches for a helicopter shot of the funeral to Anna Nicole Smith. Well, indeed, little Marshall, named for Anna's dead oil magnate hubby, may well become one of the wealthiest trust fund kids in history. Even though right now all the tech wants for his pretty white mother is to rise from the grave and take him in her arms.
For her God-fearing, decent white
Don't
mother.
Don't worry, Ogwe, promises the child. I won't go to heaven till you come to me. A Marshall, Soto sighs, kissing the boy. What would Ogwe do without you? She never slept with anyone who wasn't white before, explains Soto, the father. That's what she told me. She said she had what we call scarlet fever. That's when an Anglo falls in love with a Native American man or a woman. In this case, it was a man. When an Indian man goes for a white woman, it's called eating at the white man's trough. Soto had fled the life of poverty and misery on the reservation when he was 18 to join the U.S. Army, a move that led him to serve his first Iraq war as a gunnery sergeant. Apparently, he was also ambushed by an Iraqi sniper patrol. This is better than Cha Cha's husband. Honorably discharged in 1993, he refused to return to the Tohono O'odham Nation. This is the second largest Indian reservation in the U.S. It sprawls across the Mexican border and is nearly the size of Connecticut. His mother died when he was younger, after having both legs amputated due to diabetes. And while he was stationed in Kuwait, his father, an alcoholic, died of alcohol poisoning after a weekend of guzzling 12 bottles of Pine Center Light Bulb floor cleaner. Well, it's almost tomorrow, isn't it? I'm not sure if the pages of the story are in the proper order. It seems to make a little bit of sense.
Okay.
I just read them the way it was filled up by the printer. And then,
thank you. Tim Riley, ladies
and gentlemen. That's it for now.
Oh, thank God. Really, thanks, sweet Christ. Good God Almighty. He'll be back at the bottom of the hour with more eating at the white man's trough. Good God Almighty.
Oh, my God.
What time is it? Oh, good God Almighty. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Tim Riley returns in about 15 minutes with more for the Ministry of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From FilmFeverRadio.com, Scott Daly. Hello, sir.
Hi. Jesus Christ. I think that story needs to be converted to a book on tape and have Tim Riley read it for
everybody. It really does.
It's the best thing ever.
It needs to be preserved on golden plates for alien civilizations to read about someday.
And to study.
God almighty.
I believe it was in some sort of order.
The best thing is just kept going.
And the kid is named Mogwai.
That article is 5 pages long.
Well,
is that right, Mogwai? Oh, my God.
Why is this playing? Where is this sound coming from?
That's from your computer.
Oh, that's me. Sorry. Good God. I was playing Walking on Sunshine for some reason.
It's a Monday morning mixtape.
Let's take a couple of these. Alexander, hello, sir.
Rick Emerson.
Hi.
You are the height of hilarity.
Well, it's not really me, sir. I really am just happen to be standing next to Tim.
Well, Tim Riley is the world's number one and greatest newsman ever.
That is true.
Sarah Dillon is the picture of perfection and a beautiful woman.
Quit sucking up.
And say hi to Scotty for me.
Is that really the extent of this call?
No. Actually, you were mentioning about the skull and, you know, dropping it off and whatnot.
Yeah.
You say no one ever gives you any warning. I'm giving you a warning. Have the want wand ready.
Oh, okay. Well, of course, you have to do this right after my Card-O-Matic bit the dust. Hold on a second. Hold on. My Card-O-Matic is loading. That's
you
what
you have lipstick and make it yourself.
She's right. Well, touche. All right. Go ahead, sir.
No. I said a book depository, not a book, not a skull suppository.
Okay, that's not funny. You told me to have the want ready.
It's a skull depository, not a skull suppository. As in the head up the...
No, no, you don't get the sounder. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The judges.
I waited for 15 minutes.
You should have thought about that a little more.
No, the judges say no. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, at least I let everybody know that Tim Riley is the number one newsman in the world.
It's too late. You can't save yourself by kissing up. You can't kiss ass. I'm not going to give you the sounder.
Did I mention you're the heights of hilarity?
Tell me I'm pretty. Tell me I'm the thinnest I've ever been. All right. Thank you. We're going away now.
They brought you the skull because they wanted you to get ahead.
Stop. That's just don't. Just don't do that. Let's do a couple of these here. Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi, Rick.
Hi.
Listen, that clue you were talking about an hour or so ago. Her real name is Teresa Reed. She did run for an office. She ran for either the state senate or the state house, I believe, in the 2004
cycle. Oh, dark lady. Yeah, everybody, I'm just going to say this. Everybody should lay off the Senegal's email about it. I remember meeting her, like, for 10 seconds, like 8 or 9 years ago at something or other. It was some civic event, some political, like a debate or something I went to where I met her. She's a nice person. I guess. I don't really remember anything about her. She has sort of completely fallen out of our consciousness until today. And the first thing we heard about her today was this masturbate-a-thon, which does really lend itself to hilarity. So everybody should just loosen up about it. Somebody sent me some...
You're right, it does indeed. But this is an annual event. She does this and a couple of other sexually-oriented workshops every year. I mean,
Everybody needs a hobby.
Yeah, it's true. I met her actually about a year and a half ago. I actually had lunch with her at Kelly Reed. She's really an intelligent, nice, and very... warm woman.
We never said anything to the contrary. We just didn't know who she was.
She does not write porn per se. She actually writes about the adult industry.
I'm sorry, we're losing your phone. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
No.
All right, so it says in 2002 she ran for the Oregon House of Representatives and earned 10% of the vote.
Yeah.
Is that talking about this now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's a nice person. You can't have a masturbate-a-thon and not be made fun of. That's just one of the rules. Sarah just spilled macaroni down the front of her clothing.
Easy, Mac.
It wasn't look like for sure. Tyler Moody.
It just feels like a front. Well, that ship has sailed.
It's not happy.
He's going to see
my
you.
My eye makeup is smeared all over my face. Crying, laughing
because
hard.
Tim talking about eating at the white man's trough.
Oh my God, there's a few more pages. I just printed them out so I can read them. There is some of the most ridiculous stuff I've ever read.
After guzzling 12 bottles of Pine Sol floor cleaner.
Amputated legs.
Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, man, I figured out something you can do with that skull.
Okay.
The next listener party, you got to serve placenta soup out of it.
Oh, God.
That's like five different things at once that are all wrong. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
There you go. Let's do two more, and then we'll talk about the movie 300. Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
The C-shaped toilet bowl is the elongated bowl for public bathrooms under the, I believe it's the Uniform Building Code and National Sanitary Foundation. It's for tidiness in the bathroom because men aren't.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Have fun.
Okay. You're creepy. That's Ray. He's going to kill you. All right. It's 503-733. Rick, you should mount the skull and use a stringed pulley system so George can talk to Sarah and creep out guests.
That's a great idea.
How about this? Rick, on the subject of toilet seats, the oval ones are superior. I installed a new elongated toilet at home, and there's much less crushing of the junk from the front of the seat. Maybe that's why public toilets use those. Also, says this email, how sad is it to think that you could try your best to leave your mark on this world and then end up dying and having your skull toyed with by a zany AM radio show and manhandled for comic fodder? Seriously, it would be like if your skull ended up at a morning zoo with kooky hosts. I can't even finish this. It would be like if your skull ended up in a morning zoo with a kooky host, Sir Farts a Lot, and Stunty the Kid. What a waste.
I would be honored if my skull was forever kept in the shrine.
Where's the kid?
Seriously, where are his parents? Do you want to do something with that?
That's true. If he's like 14, if this skull, if somebody's given us a skull.
Right here. If they claim the skull was 14 when he
passed?
Well,
he's clearly not an adult.
Well, true.
It's a small skull.
It's a teenage skull, I would say.
That's such a good thing.
So the question is, if your 14-year-old died, would they just not like him or something?
Do they just need money and just sold his body?
Seriously.
Medical research?
Having your skull toyed with by his AM radio show and manhandled for comic fodder.
Phil's headed with gummy bears.
He says, seriously, it would be like if your skull ended up in a morning zoo with kooky host Sir Farts-A-Lot and Stunty the Kid.
Could you be more disrespectful to that skull? Let's fill it with candy. Bring it up on the wall.
Hello, Sarah Dude.
A leopard healer man, says this email. The skull needs to be filled with gummy worms. Gummy worms. Yes, seriously. Anybody can be all morose about death. I'm trying to embrace it. I'm trying to put the fun in funeral. All right, Scott Daly, hello, sir.
Speaking of fun, hello.
Good God Almighty. Tyler Moody from CNN is here. We're going to bring him in a few minutes to talk to him. I'll have the skull in a position in his skull so it stares right at him.
Yeah,
you do that.
Clean up that easy Mac, too, sir.
You've got macaroni all down the front of your shirt and your eye makeup is running. You are sexy with a capital F.
I think I've got one of those Clorox wipes you can use.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously.
Take care of that easy Mac.
Oh, good God Almighty. Maybe you could just you have time to get a tear tattooed on your face somewhere. All right.
And a little heart here on your hand in between your thumb and forefinger.
So 300, which is this new movie based on, and look, here's the thing.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm just saying, to me, it just sort of looks like a big over the top, just sort of a video game. It doesn't really look like. It looks like it might just become a little bit much after about 90 minutes because everybody saw this preview about 6 months ago. And it went all around the net. It was like, you've got to see this preview. If the movie's half as good as the preview, it's going to be the best thing ever. And I've watched it, and it seems like it's a lot of CGI that might just sort of, like, lose its magic after the first half an hour. That's my feeling about 300. But I have not seen it. You did see it. What's the word?
The word it is hands down one of the best films I have seen in 10 years, maybe. It is an amazing piece of work. It's glorious, it's stunning, it's epic. People are going to compare this to Sin City. Naturally, it's a Frank Miller film. Both films take images from the page of the book directly and put it on screen. Sin City, I love. I've got mad love for Sin City. It's a fun film. In a word, I define Sin City as a pulp.
Right, totally.
Okay? 300, I define as epic. It is an amazing piece of work.
Now, but is there story or is it all just
there
about the visuals?
There is story. The story is about the nation of Sparta in Greece, and they're being taken over by the Persians. Right. And King Leonidas learns of the invasion of the hundreds of thousands or millions, depending on who you listen to, are coming to invade and take over Greece. And so the king of Sparta takes 300 of his best Spartans and to go head them off at the pass.
So this is like a charge of the light brigade.
Exactly.
Overwhelmed.
Based on a true story, but the film is based off Frank Miller's graphic novel. I've been reading reviews, many reviews, one in particular of a local paper here in town, which I'm not going to name.
Oregonian.
No.
Oh.
But who are panning the film because it's not historically accurate. It's not historically accurate. There's too much going on.
It's a goddamn movie.
It's like, you know what? First of all, it's a film based off of a graphic novel.
Book.
They're not saying it is based. This really happened. It did, but not to the extent that Miller's book describes.
Right.
It's a great film about patriotism. It's a great film about the power of one's belief in their homeland. I guess that could be defined as patriotism. But, I mean, it really is the power of few can overcome the power of many.
Now, is the CGI, is it impressive or does it look fake?
Very impressive. There's no, it doesn't look fake at all. It's like I said, it's just absolutely stunning. It's practically a flawless film. It looks absolutely beautiful.
Man,
there are moments in the film.
It's good. It just seems too good to be true.
You need to go see it, Rick. You really, really do. There are moments in the film where you swear you're looking at a piece of art in a museum. It is fantastic. The sound is fantastic.
Where did you see it?
We saw it at Lloyd Cinemas and in the typical screening crowd fashion, which
Don't get me started on that. But generally, the screenings, they don't turn up the volume. But I was very happy that they cranked the volume on this film. And I can't say enough about it. It's really, truly a spectacular film.
Right.
It's hands down my favorite of the year. There are many films I'm looking forward to this year, Grindhouse being one of them.
Oh, dude, when does that come out?
That comes out April 6th.
Have you seen that poster? Court and Fatboy in their office have got the Grindhouse poster.
No.
And it's badass. It's a poster makes me, the posters makes me.
And you know what really ticks me off? It comes out the 6th of April. It screens on April 3rd. I'm going to be in Las Vegas that entire week.
You'll have to hook up. You'll have to let the Rick Emerson show wet its beak.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. But I'm so frustrated. I'm so frustrated.
We should you give us the hookup, bro.
Okay. All right. You guys go, and Aaron will obviously be there. But yeah, it's 300 is don't right. read with these. I'm looking at the USA Today. 2.5 stars. Our lovely, you said the name earlier.
Well,
I'm not going to. You said it.
Well, I'm it.
Panned it. And I haven't read the Roar Gunny review yet. But I just like, you know what? Go and enjoy the film. This
well,
is
I'll
not
try to put
film.
My expectations
this,
aside.
This is a Merchant Ivory production. This is a grandiose, big film. And it is so much fun and so fantastic. You're going to love every... It's violent. It's intense. It's beautiful.
I'm going to be seeing Zodiac again this weekend, but I'll try to see 300 too.
Rick, I understand your love for Zodiac, and I'm right there with you.
I'm not knocking 300. My priority is to see Zodiac again.
Make your priority to see 300, and then go see Zodiac.
No, you don't need to see the same movie over again. Go see a new one, and then see Zodiac.
Especially since your lovely wife is not in town, go see 300.
She doesn't want to see Zodiac again either. That's the other thing.
Maybe I'll just start to see it. A Rick day. A Rick movie day.
Do a double movie. Find the theater where both of them are playing.
It's okay.
Rick, it's okay to treat yourself someday. And then go to the masturbate-a-thon.
No, seriously. Go see 300 first and then see Zodiac.
All right, boys. You've got to break.
George tells you to do that, too.
We have to take a break here.
I told Scott he went and got me macaroni and cheese, so I told him I'd play this song for him.
I don't understand.
I have to play this song.
Why?
I don't know. I told him I would.
Why did Scotty want us to play this song?
Because Scotty J did a favor for Sarah.
Oh, okay. I understand the exchange. I'm saying, why is it important to Scotty that this song be played?
He sent this to me about 6 times today. He thinks that it's called Jesus Is Just All
It's
Right.
It's the Doobie Brothers, right. I don't understand why he needs us to play this.
But he was really hungover and it makes him feel better.
All right. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We return with Tim Riley, more from Scott Daly, and we'll talk to Tyler Moody, who is a CNN overlord. You say they like us at 3, Dynamite at 7. Don't go anywhere. Good God Almighty. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Rick, if you pre-ordered your tickets for 300, you should know that Friday is already sold out.
Right.
See you on Saturday, says Jesse. Well, all right. You know, it really, movies being sold out is a thing that doesn't happen very often these days because they can place on like 100 screens. The last thing I tried to get into that was sold out was Borat. Borat was sold out. Rick, are you kidding me about Scarlet Fever? During that story, I had calmed down enough from laughing so that I could take a drink of water when Tim started talking about Scarlet Fever. When he uttered the words, drinking from the white man's trough, I spewed water all over my windshield and steering wheel. It is an absolute imperative that you post the audio of that story. Everyone I know must hear it.
I seriously think you should have Tim record a book on tape thing and post it for download. It's the best thing ever.
This email says, Dear Mugwa, I miss my mommy and I want to drink 12 bottles of Pine Sol. Best show ever. Love Ugwump. Sent from Ugwump's Blackberry.
I didn't know Ugwump had a Blackberry.
Well, Ugwump has come a long way.
Good job, Ugwump.
All right.
Proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your working class hands together for your personal prophet, president, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, first off, a serious one. Cops in the coup believe they have a guy who shot that poor fellow in the convenience store the other day. Wasn't even his convenience store. He was mining it for a friend. Chester Yeom was shot in the head at the Belmont convenience store. He's still in critical condition at OHSU. So the cops have arrested 27-year-old Jimmy Cashy of Vancouver. Now, he's been arrested for allegedly robbing some other places in the Beeb. But it's going to take the Multnomah County Grand Jury to come up with charges next week for what he did here, allegedly.
Right, sir. I hope they're hook and jump our cables up to that guy's junk right now.
Meanwhile, the president is right in the middle of a 7-day goodwill tour of these Latin American banana republics. And Mayan priests will purify a sacred site to eliminate bad spirits after he leaves. People in Montgomery, Alabama have a rare treat. The president of the Czech Republic is visiting.
Really?
Yay.
Montgomery, Alabama?
Yes.
That's like those, so we always talk about like those the poor people who they're immigrants to this country from some war-torn province, and then they end up living in, like, Decatur, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Good God.
And there was much rejoice.
He says the greatest danger to all people is that the theory that government knows best.
I hope we will learn something about how you succeed in restricting the volume of legislation in a world of very high propensity to legislate.
It doesn't sound nearly unstable enough to be from the Czech Republic.
usually they accidentally fall from, like, full-story windows. After being in office for about 3 months.
I'm used to people from the Czech Republic screaming and waving around the heads of their vanquished foes and so forth.
So he said Alabama does look a lot like the Czech Republic.
That's endorsement.
Fantastic.
So back to this love child, Anna Nicole Smith.
Sweet.
Apparently.
Let me read this by way of a preface. This email says, about this Indian story, Rick. I'd like to point out, by the way, that Tyler Moody from CNN is here.
And he is regretting it every second.
The world's premier news gathering and disseminating
applications
organization.
Tyler, you want to come say hi?
Making a note to himself to never again be in the room with us. Hi, Tyler.
Hello, I'm impressed that Tim's doing all this right off the top of his head. No script or anything.
If feel free, don't be shy about taking some tips from the news department of AM970 and taking them back to your intrepid reporters at CNN.
I've been listening all day, plenty of notes.
I feel that this is exactly the sort of zest Bob Costantini needs in his news. Have you ever seen Bob Costantini smile? And if so, did it injure him in any way?
I can't say that I have seen him smile.
All right, just checking.
Aww.
All right. So before Tim resumes this email says, Rick, I missed the first several lines of the Scarlet Fever story, so I have no idea what in the world it was about or in what context it was taking place. I came in as a father was talking to a mogwai about living in the clouds and playing with peanuts.
Just don't get it wet.
It sounds like Tim was reading the script of a telenovela or something. Does the story make sense if you know what it's about, or should I just enjoy it as surrealist humor? Yes, it's sort of the Freddy got fingered of the news world. All right, here's...
So we're viewing briefly. Anna Nicole's native son is alive and well on the Tohono O'odham Reservation, and he may be the rightful heir to her millions. And they interviewed the dad, who says, as we continue here, his name is Soto, the res was dry, and I didn't have a car to drive to and buy beer. So he drifted, and he worked at an auto mechanic in Bisbee, which is their thriving metropolis, wherever this is. Then had a brief stunt as a janitor at the University of Flagstaff. Then he drove a cab a couple years and landed a job as a handyman at the exclusive Sanctuary Resort Spa on Camelback Mountain. The staff there works around the clock, as he did. And the views from the resort rooms were magnificent. This is where he met a buxom Texas beauty who had just been awarded $450. Oh, I'm sorry, $450.
Well, yeah. That would have been impressive in itself.
It's all relative on the reservation. We were told never to call on her at first, but I got anything she wanted. And before that, she wanted more. I was shy at first, he admits. I'd never been close to a woman that looked like her. I mean, I've seen a couple of Playboy issues she'd been in, and here she is right in front of me. Sometimes she wore a thick terry cloth robe, and sometimes she was just in panties and a wife beater. She smelled like rose petals.
Not anymore.
Well, at first, it was all fun, Soto details. She'd call my you-know-what, her tomahawk, her wooden Indian, or big wampum. Sometimes she'd ask me to do a war dance with this feather from one of her dresses stuck in my baseball cap. I tried to tell her that the Tohono O'odham don't wear feathers, but she didn't care. She thought it was funny. It turned her on, so it did.
Big wampum.
I thought, I have no idea if our people even have war dances. She gushed that she found him so exciting in bed, partly because what they were doing was taboo. Being from the South, race mixing is a no-no for a white woman, but Smith secretly craved crossing the color barrier. She told Soto that sleeping with him was almost like sleeping with a black man.
Jesus Christ.
She loved his skin color, the smell of his sweat.
Oh.
And she, you know, she claimed it tasted different than a white man.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ almighty. She's all class.
She is.
Oh, good God.
Sometimes I felt like I was being used, and it left a bad taste in my mouth, said Mr. Soto.
Eating at the white man's straw.
But I was just as guilty as she was. The only whites I'd ever had sex with were prostitutes, and I couldn't get enough of Anna Nicole. So I fell under her spell. I did whatever she asked. So
who is this interview with?
Mr. Soto.
No, I understand, but what newspaper ran this, or what
news organization decided?
This is from the Phoenix Tohono O'odham.
Okay.
Don't ask. This is like their Willamette Week. This is like the Odom Week.
It's the Washington Post of the Odom people.
All right, there you go.
Now, I don't think I could add more to this.
There's really nowhere to go from there.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see here. He talks about the Tohono O'odham Nation that now beset with the ravages of drug trafficking, poverty, and diabetes. Which overnight would become one of the richest Indian nations in the southwestern United States once this goes through with this young son of hers.
The apparently epidemic consumption of Pine Sol as a recreational beverage probably didn't help either.
The people of the desert, as Tohono O'odham translates, once known as Popego or Bean Eaters, might become the children of paradise. Their rugged land possibly transferred into an El Dorado. And this is all because Anna Nicole Smith had an itch. And only tribesman Johnny Soto could scratch it back in 2001.
Ew.
Isn't an El Dorado a car?
I suppose it was.
Okay.
No, an El Dorado is the mystical land that...
How did Anna Nicole Smith get out of the limelight and secretly have a baby?
I don't know.
Well, she was staying at this resort next to the Tohono O'odham Reservation.
Okay.
Oh, my brave engine man. How I long to be with you and feel your red manhood. Look after my little papoose, and someday I'll be your squaw again. I love you, Kemosabe. Signed, Anna.
I was all prepared to transition to something else.
So I guess that's where she left him.
Oh, my God.
This is the best news story ever.
We should all kill ourselves after today, because really there's nowhere to go but down after this peak.
Would you just read the first sentence of that love note again?
Oh, my brave engine man. How I long to be with you and feel your red manhood. Look after my little papoose, and soon I will be your squaw again. I love you, Kemosabe. Signed, Anna.
Kemosabe.
You know, Tim, someday, many, many years from now, when I have to eulogize at your funeral, that's the poem I'm going to read. I'm going to read that to you.
That's the best part about Tim reading the story.
He's sitting with a perfectly straight face. It's so great.
Oh, good God almighty.
And that's the top of the news.
Hey, Tyler, I'm glad CNN can have a representative here in the studio today.
Glad to be here.
Well, you know.
I think Tim deserves a round of applause.
Oh, seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
Well, we dig a little bit deeper and care a little bit more.
It's true.
Let me do these things.
Greatest newsman in all of humanity, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
That has got to be the best news story ever.
It's really the best.
When you think it couldn't get better, it does.
Really the best broadcast of any type ever to be carried out by any broadcasting facility.
But what other newsman can deliver it like Tim?
Really, it's just really.
The question I had, though, is how did we not notice Anna Nicole is pregnant for 9 months and then dropped off this kid? It's not like she knocked him up and ran away.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess really how much attention were we really paying to her before, like, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, did you see her that time during that time?
This was 2001. I don't remember what she was doing in 2001.
That's all the legal case going on with her dead husband. I mean,
I guess.
She was in the news quite a bit with that.
Well, she needed...
But she was pretty heavy at that point.
She needed the healing touch that only the gentle wampum could provide, apparently. So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Chris. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey Rick. Hey. You know, I mean, Pulitzer Prize for Tim. Greatest day ever.
Really? That's going to get us that NAB Crystal Award, if that's sorry.
I mean, you know, not to harsh your mellow, but I actually almost died Sunday, and I'm glad I didn't, because now I can live to hear that story.
But now you can die, though.
Yeah, so I can now die happy because I heard it. But anyway, I figured, back to 300 real quick.
Yeah.
I could just imagine George Bush sitting in a crowded theater watching this movie and exclaiming, oh, this is why we must stay the course. 300 against the mean. We can do it, folks. We can stay the course.
I heard that there's... Now, Scott, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling. Hey, by the way, what did you almost die of?
I was in a motorcycle crash.
Okay, but you lived and you're fine?
Yeah, I actually flew 118 through the air, did a double gainer, a couple flips, hit in a ditch, and got out of it with some road rash and basically a banged up heel.
Damn.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad. Well, thank you for calling. Tell us, I'm glad you survived, sir.
Me too.
All right, yeah. All right, you spread the word. You call us anytime.
All the time.
Thank you, sir. There you go. God bless him. Yeah, I heard that there's some sort of subtle anti-Bush stuff.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
No,
people see what they want to see, but I heard that there was some political commentary.
And my response to that is you take out of it what you bring into it. I really, if you want to go in...
time saves nine.
If you want to go in looking for an underlying political theme, you're going to
get that. But you can enjoy it just as a film.
Completely,
right?
Yeah.
Right. This email says, Dear Mugwai, my new name for George the Skull is Big Wampum. Isn't that right, Donkey? Best show ever. Tyler's no idea what we're talking about here. My brave engine man, life is worth living again. Love, Oak Lump. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
I'm laughing so much.
Really? I'm glad that we don't do a fifth hour here because there's no way I could do it. There's no way. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll come back and talk to Scott Daly about what's going on at FilmFeverRadio.com. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com and Tyler Moody from CNN, who, after being here today, will view everything that happens at CNN as a paragon of integrity, professionalism, and journalistic class.
Well, you had to know what to expect, right, Tyler?
I'm not...
I knew a little bit about what I was getting into.
Yeah. I'm not really sure there's anything could have prepared you for the last hour of this program, but...
The real question is, when are, Jim Roop and Lisa going to be here?
When do you want them here?
We'll talk.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know. My people will call your people. What's happening at FilmFeverRadio.com?
We've got a brand new episode this week. We recorded live at Tony Starlight Supper Club and Lounge. Our review of 300. It's pretty much the whole show wanking over 300, essentially. And we also have up our all-female commentary of The Princess Bride, which is our February Valentine's Day special commentary. Right. And next week, we are recording our March commentary, The Brilliance, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
And we were just talking about this during the break, that I'm not... How do I put this? I think it's a really, really valiant attempt at the movie. I mean, I never knocked Terry Gilliam or anything. Terry Gilliam, right?
Yeah.
Correct that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Johnny Depp does a fantastic job as essentially playing the Hunter Thompson role. Yep. Benicio Del Toro, who plays Dr. Gonzo, does a great job. It's just, to me, and I'm a huge fan of the book, too. I'm actually a big fan of the book, I think it's almost unfilmable. I think I get about half an hour, 40 minutes into Fear and Loathing the movie, and it's just too much. It's just too overwhelming.
That's what I liked about it. When I first heard they were doing a film version of Fear and Loathing, I was like, there's no way, it can't be done. But then Gilliam was attached to the project, and Johnny Depp, I think it's a great film. It's a great adaptation of the book, and it's fun as hell to watch. It's just watching Depp and Del Toro stumble around Vegas on ether. It's the best thing ever.
I think it starts strong, and I think it ends strong, and there's that whole middle sequence, like that sequence where Del Toro's in the bathtub, and it's filled with, citrus fruit and a knife. It's just so disturbing. I think maybe that's the other thing. Is I watched that film and it just kind of freaks me out.
Oh, okay. All right. Waking up in a hotel room filled with water.
Yes. Is Lebowski Fest, do they do one of those here in Portland or is it just Seattle?
As far as I know, it's just Seattle. And
that's this weekend, isn't it?
It is this weekend. And if I
had known about it earlier, I would be there this weekend.
I think our own Jeff McGinley and Big Jim for the Marconi Show, I think they're going to Lebowski.
Really?
I would love
to do Lebowski. Now, in August, Sarah Dillon, there's a Twin Peaks Fest.
I know. I've always wanted to go.
We all should go.
I'm totally there. I am so unashamed of how much of a nerd I am about that show.
3 weeks, Sarah Dillon. Season two.
I know. I already pre-ordered it.
Can't wait. I waited too.
let's see. Rick, about Salma Hayek's bosoms. Let's see. One has to ask about the inflation of Salma Hayek's bosoms now that she is pregnant. She started out... This man really has a disturbing amount of knowledge about these things. She started out apparently as a 36C. How would you ever know that unless you're breaking into her house and, like, trying on her undergarments when she's not at home?
Carrie.
but as she approached age 40, they became D-sized. By the... Well, I don't know.
That's creepy.
By the time she's into... By the time she's into, Sarah, full lactation mode... They can become a real hazard and require some sort of full-time traffic mitigation effort. As an aside, her ass will become equally huge. FYI.
We know those things won't snap back, Rick. You better say goodbye to her boobs now.
Goodbye!
You got the weekend to yourself.
No, I got, you know, the magic of the internet. Like, Charlotte. My wife's gone for 2 days, so.
Got the whole weekend.
Just, no, you know, but it's like Charlotte Church. Thanks to the internet, you know, the internet, Charlotte Church will be 21, unmarried, and without children forever. She won't be all stretchy and useless. Rick, if I am not mistaken, about that D.C. madam, Lisa Goddard spoke on this topic earlier in the week. This is the gal that the U.S. attorney is trying to silence from exposing selling her client list for defense money because there's a number of names on the list which could be embarrassing to people in the government. The family value says, I don't actually remember Lisa talking about that, but I'll bring it up on I'll have to bring it up on Monday.
There's the same thing going on in L.A. too.
Yeah, right. Well, with that woman who was like, she had Tommy Lasorda and Bruce Willis and whatever.
Lasorda, that's
Tommy
weird.
Lasorda. Imagine that.
No, thank you.
I can picture Bruce Willis getting hookers, though.
Totally. See, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in getting hookers, especially if you're a celebrity. That's my thing. Danny Bonaducci, of all people, was talking about this the other morning on the Corolla show. He made a really good point, which is that if you are... You know, you're Danny Bonaducci, let's say, who's even like a C-list celebrity. You know, he's married and whatever, but, and I'm not, you know, whatever anybody does, doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, if he goes out and picks up some skank at the Rainbow Bar and Grill, you know that's going to be the Inquirer, like, the next day. If you're, you know, some guy like Bruce Willis, whatever, that's who prostitutes exist for, I would imagine. You know, the guy, you know, whatever, you don't have your business splashed into the paper. And it just seems like... That if, you know, if you're a high-priced escort service, it is just implied that you're not ever going to disclose that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but on the same level, even if you are Bruce Willis, you wouldn't think you would need to hire a prostitute. And if you do and are caught, it's much more disparaging to be reported as having a prostitute as opposed to...
Is that a new BlackBerry?
Why, yes, it is.
Is that the Pearl? The BlackBerry Pearl?
No.
What is that?
It is the BlackBerry 7100i.
That looks pretty great. That's
it does look very fancy.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here. It's 503-733-2970. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard today. Also, Tyler Moody from CNN for joining us today. Thank you. And by the way, can I just say that I've been talking to those guys, especially like Roop, for a year, going on in 5-6 years now, and they're fantastic. They do a wonderful job. They are almost never drunk. So
almost never, yeah.
Except for Ed. Ed, I think, is almost always
it's the other way around with that.
And I love Jim Roop. Jim Roop is so great.
Jim is one of the highlights of my day, actually. So now with Ed, I'm pretty sure you can actually hear the ice clinking against the inside of the glass as Kathy is like pouring him another round of doubles in the background. But it is one of his positive character traits.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Gives him a little extra panache.
Good.
All right. You can find out more at filmfeverradio.com. Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City Duran. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA, is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We'll see you Monday. Don't forget to join the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And, of course, we'll be back Monday at 11. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. Thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Be safe. See y'all Monday. Bye, kids.